Well, praise the Lord, and welcome out to revival. We're gleaning from the Father's heart. So I want you to receive whatever God has for you today. Just reach into his deepest part of his heart and just pull out whatever he has for you. Amen. Don't leave empty, but leave filled. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for those who came out to sit in your presence. I thank you, Father God, that your table was full and overflowing with goodness and kindness to your people. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who dwells richly within us. And Father God, let the ears be open, the eyes be open, and the heart open so that we can hear, see, and receive what thus saith the Lord this morning. And Father, we thank you for the revival that's breaking out all across the land, Father God, not just in one place, but all across the land. We thank you for the great influx of lost souls that you are sending in that we can minister to. And Father God, whatever miracle you want to perform here this day, we are open for it. Whatever you want to do, Father God, we are open for it. You have full and complete rule and reign in your service. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, which is a third part of the Godhead. We've talked about Jesus and God, and now let's talk about what the Holy Spirit does. And I'm going to engraft this into a teaching, all right? John 14:16-17 says, "And I will pray the Father," this is Jesus speaking, "and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him," talking about the Holy Spirit, "but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So the Holy Spirit dwells with us and is in us. And John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So you see, we need the Holy Spirit so he can bring back to our remembrance everything God has spoken into our lives about what he wants to do with us or other people's lives. But we need the Holy Spirit to bring that forth. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't function well in the body of Christ. John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," it's still Jesus speaking, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin." See what the Holy Spirit, this is his job now. "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." So you see what the job of the Holy Spirit is. He has a job, the same as God had a job, and Jesus had a job. The Holy Spirit has a job to do within us. Jesus says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." That's why you need to be walking in the Spirit so you are guided into all truth. "Not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come." Jesus only did what he heard the Father say. And Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will only do what he hears the Father say. So if you're walking in the Spirit and you're prophesying, then it is the Holy Spirit's prophesying through you, telling you exactly what the Father is telling him to tell you. I don't know, you know, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll be doing one thing and you'll hear God speaking to you, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and so you know what the next thing is that he's going to do. All right? Now, verse 14 says, Jesus says, "He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Now, it's very imperative that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God said this dispensation spirit is calling to spirit. And the trouble in the body of Christ is there's too much flesh showing and not enough spirit. Now, Acts 2:38 says, and Peter replied, each one of you must turn from sin. Now, this is Peter teaching. Each one of you must turn from sin, return to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you also shall receive this gift, the Holy Spirit. Peter says, after you're baptized for your sins, then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. What happened to Jesus? He went down to the Jordan. John the Baptist baptized him. And after he baptized him, what happened to him? The Holy Spirit came upon him. That's why baptism is so important, so that the Holy Spirit can come upon you. And I like it. Let's read this again, verse 38. And Peter replied, each one of you must turn from sin, return to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you also shall receive this gift. So that it was important to me. So the Holy Spirit is a gift to us from God. All right. For Christ promised him to each one of you who has been called by the Lord our God, and to your children, and even to those in distant lands. So it's a gift from God. And Peter calls, he says, for Christ promised him. So he's a person. He's not some bird flying around, you know, but he's a person, according to this, right? To each one of you who has been called by the Lord our God. We have to repent, right? And then we get baptized and repent, and then we get the Holy Spirit. Now, so that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to go into this teaching about healing your deepest wounds with the help of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wanted to truly break free from the chains of emotional baggage from your past? I know you're all saying yes to yourself. Were you abused as a child and it seemed to have scarred your life forever? Many people, even with professional counseling, never get the healing and freedom that God intended for us. Question, do you honestly think that God wants us to struggle through life because of the things which happened to us? Absolutely not. So why are so many Christians struggling with the same issues over and over again throughout their entire life? Why do we have to forgive so-and-so over and over again, and every time she pulls our trigger, we have to make the choice to forgive her once again? Are you following this? The problem never really goes away. It is just suppressed. All right? Is this the kind of victory Jesus wanted us to experience? Absolutely not. We need to get to the root of things and understand what is really going on in that person's situation so the real problem can be solved. A good Band-Aid just doesn't do the job. We should never be satisfied with temporary fixes, and the body of Christ is satisfied with temporary fixes, and that's why the body of Christ is messed up. We need real answers that really work. The people we minister to should experience breakthrough that changes their life and doesn't keep coming back. A person shouldn't have to forgive their offender 100 times and still be triggered every time he says the wrong thing. We need to stop wishing we could love those who wrong us and actually start feeling compassion and love for them and having the genuine desire to pray God's will into their lives and feel it in your heart. And I heard it in Women's Aglow yesterday. Somebody testified that it took them 6 months, but they could finally pray for somebody that wounded them. So if it takes you 6 months, then it takes you 6 months. Whatever it takes until you can genuinely forgive them. We all wish we could do that for those who hurt us. but few of us really experience that level of transformation in our hearts. So if you're one that something keeps triggering the same old pain over and over and over again, you have not received total and complete freedom. There's still some baggage, some roots in there that only the Holy Spirit can reveal. How many of you, whenever you're praying, if you're doing self-deliverance like you're being taught, how many of you say, Holy Spirit, go down in there and rout out every spirit that is not of God? And bring it out into the open so that the angels of God can go in there and pull that thing out. That's how I pray all the time. The Holy Spirit has to be sent down in there to rout out whatever's in there that's not of God. And then the holy angels take it out. Amen. Then when you put the Holy Spirit into the mix, freedom, true freedom is there. Lasting freedom is there. And you won't keep going back into the same bondages over and over again. Let's look at the ministry work of the Holy Spirit. That might be the most life-changing type of ministry approach that we will see. Got a little bit ahead of myself there. The Holy Spirit wants to heal your deepest wounds so you can live in effortless victory and genuine healing. Now, we're gleaning from the Father's heart this morning. He needs you to really receive this about the Holy Spirit freeing you up. God just doesn't do anything just haphazard like people do. He doesn't do anything on the willy-nilly. He knew that we needed that Holy Spirit to function after Jesus went away. Jesus was walking the earth and he was doing all the miracles, right? But after he left, there wasn't anybody to take his place. So they sent the Holy Spirit to help us. The Holy Spirit wants to heal your deepest wounds so you can live effortless victory and genuine healing. Now, we choose to construct our walls. We choose to construct our walls. You choose to get angry with me. I don't make you angry with me. You choose to get angry with me. You choose to listen to what the enemy's saying to you, and then you choose, okay, you're right, devil. She did this to me, so I'm just going to be upset with her. You choose that. Amen. You could say, nah, devil, she did not do that. And you're not going to cause me to be angry with my pastor. You see what I'm saying? So we choose to construct our walls. You are in the emotional mess you're in because of choices you've made, because of beliefs held sometimes deep within your heart. You did that. Don't say the devil did it to you. You did that. See, this is the problem. We have an escape mechanism. We said the devil did it. No, you have your own free will. This is your vessel. He might dwell in there, but it's your vessel, and you can make your own choices. You know, and I was so glad that one young man who, you know, was the son of the devil, and then he got free, how he tells how the devil really can't make us do anything. We just like what he gives us, and so we do it. And really, we just do it freely. He can't make us do anything. You may have chosen to put up a wall which blocks you from receiving love because you've been hurt. And your heart believes that putting up a wall will keep your heart safe from being hurt again. But the reality is that it doesn't work. I know. I had that wall built. You all know my story. And I was born again and God showed me what it looked like a chimney around my heart. And God said, you built that wall there so you would never be hurt again. He said, but if you're going to be my vessel, then you have to break the wall down. Are you listening? And so I really didn't want to break that wall down because I'd been hurt so much I never wanted to be hurt again, right? And then how you feel? But I stood there crying in the church service that day, and I said, okay, God, tear it down. And then I saw the wall crumble. And then years went by, 30-some years went by, and one day God said to me, daughter, you're building your wall again. And he showed me a vision of my heart. I had two blocks of brick built up from the ground, starting to cover my heart again. He said, you have to tear that down. You have to tear it down because you cannot build a wall around your heart. You're going to be hurt all your life. Just face that. Somebody's always going to hurt you. knowingly and unknowingly, they're going to hurt you. So quit building walls around your heart. God can't use you if your heart is hid from the world. All right? Your wall doesn't keep you from getting hurt. And it didn't, but I thought it did, right? It only keeps you from freely receiving love as God intended. It's only through receiving the love of God in your heart that your heart can be in that safe place that God intended it to be. Now, how many of you, you know, you build a wall around your heart and you say, you can only come this far. This is my perimeter and I'm not letting you in any further. You know, I would only be this friendly to you. But when you got to this perimeter, I would not be friendly with you from that point on. Because if I did, then you'd be in my heart and you'd hurt me. See this? I mean, I know I lived it. And I knew I had a perimeter up there. And I would only let you in so far. If some of you sitting in here this morning or even listening to me, you've done the very same thing. You've got to break down that perimeter. You have to break down that wall. You have to, or God can't use you. We're gleaning from God's heart. Don't you think Jesus' heart broke over and over again? Don't you think God's heart broke over and over again as he watched how we, even today, how we abuse the name of Jesus? Even how we abuse the Holy Spirit? Don't you think God's heart breaks over that? Of course it does. All right, so I said it's only through receiving the love of God in your heart that your heart can be in that safe place that God intended it to be. Now, Isaiah 49:16 says, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Now, if you read that, it's talking about Jerusalem and everything, all right? But that's a good example of where we're at with God. We are engraved in the palms of his hands. He sees every wall we resurrect. Amen. That we erect. Amen. When we build such walls, we choose to hinder our ability to freely receive love. And the single greatest need that we have, the need to be loved, will not be met, at least in the capacity God intended. And out of that lack of our greatest need being fulfilled, all sorts of emotional and life problems will arise. Let's read that again. When we build such walls, we choose to hinder our ability to freely receive love. And the single greatest need that we have, which is the need to be loved, will not be met, at least in the capacity God intended. And out of that lack of our greatest need being fulfilled, which is being loved, all sorts of emotional and life problems will arise. If you're going to be God's vessel, hey, you're going to have to be out there to be heard. God's word says his people will suffer. Jesus suffered mightily. Did you ever stop and think why he went to the mountain so often? I asked God that about a week ago. He said he came to the mountain so he could cry. And he could get strength from me. And that's why he said, I keep telling you to come up hither. So you can come to me and you can cry. And you can give me all your problems. Then you can go back refreshed and minister to the people. See, that's why Jesus went alone. That's why he didn't take his little barrage of disciples with him. He went alone because he had to let it all out to the Father. He had to let all that pain, all that rejection. Do you imagine what he went through when he walked? Everybody rejected him, all the dignitaries. Can you imagine what our President of the United States is going through right now? Now they want to take away the honorary law degree they gave him. I mean, come on. Come on. I weep over the President. I really do. I pray for him continually. Because such rejection. How would you like that? You wouldn't. You really wouldn't. So why do we put that on somebody else? You wouldn't like somebody coming, rejecting everything you do, would you? Just say you were a school teacher and you're standing there trying to teach the kids, and everything you did they rejected. How would you feel? Barren and worthless, I'm hearing God say. Amen? We all want to be received. We all want to be accepted. And we have to be open for the rejection. We have to be open for anything that the Satan sends our way. But we have to remember that God is greater than Satan, and that we are like Jesus, and if Jesus could suffer through his, then we can suffer through ours. And if God can sit in the heavenly throne room and watch his son suffer like that and not kill us all. And God told me the reason why he withdrew the Holy Spirit 15 some years ago was because the church was trampling all over the Holy Spirit and it grieved him. God sitting up there, he said, you know, I've about had enough of this bunch of people. And so I'm going to do something. I'm just going to take the Holy Spirit away. Now God is taking grace away from the church. You know, he dealt with us and dealt with us and dealt with us. Now he's taking the grace away from the old folk that don't want to change. But if you were in the church and you're wanting to change, your grace is still there. All right, for example, almost all addictions are rooted in our need to be loved, not being fulfilled. Almost all addictions are rooted, are rooted in our need to be loved, not being fulfilled. Our capacity to receive love is hindered by these walls which we have constructed, which were meant to protect our heart, but actually cause all sorts of other problems. We need to understand that if Satan can keep our God-given needs from being met God's way, we become vulnerable to seeking out alternate ways to meet those needs. I'm going to read that again. We need to understand that if Satan can keep our God-given needs from being met God's way, we become vulnerable to seeking out alternate ways to meet those needs. And some of those ways are self-gratification. That's why pornography and all that junk is so prevalent out there. People are trying to meet needs that they really can't meet. It's God that meets your needs. You know, when I was, you know, I was always a love person. I just loved, you know, and it just loved everybody and everything and projected love. And I lived in a loveless marriage for all those years. And finally, one day, something just exploded inside of me. And I used to buy the shirts that said love on them, you know, and had love stuff all over my house. I burned every shirt I had. I took all my love stuff down. I said, there is no such thing as love. That's where I went to. Because all people wanted to do was hurt and abuse. And that's when I became born again. And that's when God took. But see, with the wall around my heart, I really couldn't receive anybody's love that they were trying to give to me. Then I thought there was no love at all. I thought that was just a figment of my imagination. And so I just burnt everything that existed that had anything to do with love, which was stupid. But that's where I was at. So where are you at? You might be doing the very same thing because you built that wall around your heart for all the hurts that you went through. Well, tear it down. Then you'll see love is real. And the people who refuse to love you, they're the losers, not you. You are greatly loved by God, and that's all you really need. Even though we like to have a little bit of flesh touch us every now and then, but you know, sometimes that flesh just touches you can burn you to death. Amen. So we need to desire God first. Amen. Where am I at? Sin, for that matter, is usually just a vain attempt to manage our emotional pain and lack of fulfillment. Sin, for that matter, is usually just a vain attempt to manage our emotional pain and lack of fulfillment. Why do we lash out at somebody when they say the wrong thing? We are making them pay for what somebody else did to us years ago as a child. Read that again. Why do we lash out at somebody when they say the wrong thing? We are making them pay for what somebody else did to us years ago as a child. And I just thought about a little bit on that the other night. And I'm really tired of that, aren't you? Paying for somebody else's sin. Because somebody else wronged you, you making me pay for their sin. I'm tired of that. Aren't you tired of that? The body of Christ ought to be good and tired of that. And so we ought to clean our own self up so that we don't use that weapon against other people. Don't point the finger at the person that's hurting you. You manage you and make sure you don't do that to somebody else. When we fail to love others, we have fallen into sin because Jesus commanded us to love one another. See that? However, if our own need to be loved isn't being met because of the walls we have constructed in our hearts, it will be difficult to love others because we really can't freely give something we aren't receiving ourselves. All right? Do you know how many people don't know how to love? Lust, they do. Love, they don't. Just ask God about it. He'll tell you. The body of Christ does not know how to truly love. If you don't believe that, look what's going on in the world. That isn't love that these kids and everybody else is doing. That's lust. And then they say, I love you. No, you don't. You lust to me. You know, you have to face the truth, because the truth is going to liberate you and set you free. Question, do you want to live the life that God intended for you to walk in? Do you want to freely love others as Jesus commanded? Then you will need to work on those walls in your heart which are hindering your own need for love from being fulfilled. I really get upset when people get angry with me because God isn't doing what they're wanting, because God isn't doing to them what they want God to do to them. Then they blame me. It's not my fault that you're messed up. It really isn't. I'm just a messenger. Don't kill me. Go take it to God. You know, if you get messed up quickly, well, then there's still something in you that needs to be rooted out and fixed. All right, now, a heart that is not regularly receiving and fully aware of the love of God, now we're talking about the love of God here mostly, is a heart that will not be emotionally healthy, and therefore that person will be prone to struggle with sin as a vain attempt to meet their God-given need to receive and experience His love. Now, we're going to say that again because that was a big mouthful, all right? A heart that is not regularly receiving and fully aware of the love of God is a heart that will not be emotionally healthy, and therefore that person will be prone to struggle with sin as a vain attempt to meet their God-given need to receive and experience His love. I've been there. I've done that. How many of you have been there and done that? You know, this is not something we're making up. It's the truth. But the body of Christ doesn't look at the truth. And they perceive themselves to be fine, and they're really not fine. They need to be, I'm not even going to say fixed. They need to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Here's where the problem lies. Most of the time, we can't just let down our walls. Because whether or not we realize it, we believe that our wall is doing something for us, which is protecting us from getting hurt. And until that belief that our wall is protecting us is destroyed, it will be difficult to just let it go. That wall's not, believe me, that wall, did that wall help you guys? No, it did not, did it? And then when the wall finally come down, boy, all the hurt come gushing in. And then you had to really rely on God to be there to rescue you, or you would have drowned in all that pain that you were blocking out. Amen? Here's where I read that, didn't I? That is why so many people cannot let go of their anger. Because what they don't realize is that their anger is doing something for them. The key to letting our walls down is finding out what they are doing for us and getting truth on them. Until we uncover the lies which cause us to hold on to our walls, we may find it very difficult to truly let go and experience the freedom that God intended. Well, if I resurrect a wall, I can't be hurt. That's a lie. If that's the truth, then why did I keep being hurt? I'll put it this way, why did the things that people did to me bother me? It was still hurting me, wasn't it? Even though I had that wall, see? You have to understand what that wall is not doing for you. All right, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. Now, remember, we're talking about the Holy Spirit all through this teaching. I've recently run across a new approach to inner healing ministry. The process is very simple, yet can bring some of the deepest level of healing that we ever see. The foundation of this type of ministry is based on these important scriptures in John 14:26. But the Comforter, and in newer translation they call him the Counselor, which is the Holy Ghost, I like to say Holy Spirit, but I can't change the scriptures. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. When I was first born again, somebody was going to pay my way to Bible school, because that's everybody wants to do that, you know, when you first get born again, don't you? And God said, I don't want you to go. I want the Holy Spirit to teach you. I do not want man to teach you. And I'm so glad that I did not go to Bible school and get man's doctrine in me, which I would have had to get back out of me. You understand this? But when the Holy Spirit teaches you, he teaches you the full truth of God's word. He does not put things in there that are not right. He does not divide the word, you know, make it say something that does not say. The word is the word. And if when you read your Bible, you say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to read the word with me and let me understand what I'm reading, you'll be surprised how the Holy Spirit will open up the truth to you in the word. You'll see things you've never seen before. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. And see, the word for the day said the Holy Spirit was going to show us things to come. We need to get the person we are working with, in a, you know, and talk about deliverance now, or ministering to. We need to get the person we are working with in a place where they can receive counsel directly from the Holy Spirit, who speaks to their heart and not just their head. See, if you tell that, if you invite the Holy Spirit into your deliverance sessions, and then if you're being roadblocked, just say to the person, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you about what's really going on here. Not what I perceive God's telling me, but what the Holy Spirit sees, and he sees the truth. And then allow the Holy Spirit to speak and tell you exactly what's going on there. While we can change what they logically believe, you know, you and I can change what they logically believe, it is the Holy Spirit that can change what they believe experientially. All right? Come on. I want you to really get this today. Logical belief versus experiential belief. Have you ever known something to, now look, listen, you know, think about yourself. Have you ever known something to be true but just didn't feel like it was true? For example, let's say you were struggling with feeling forgiven and loved by God. You knew from Scripture that God loves you and forgives you, but somehow you just don't feel like that is true. That's a good example, because that's where a lot of people are at. Your emotions will tell you otherwise. You struggle feeling like you are not loved or forgiven, yet you know it's just not true. Have you been there? Sure you have. Most of us have struggled with something that we know in our minds is not true, but in our hearts we sure feel like it's true. That is if we are honest with ourselves. See, that's the problem. We are not honest with ourselves. Now, question number one. Did you know that you can hold two opposing beliefs at the same time? Number two, did you know that you can believe one thing in your mind, such as God supplies all my needs, yet the minute you lose your job, you start having a panic attack? True? Or no matter how many times you're told that you are forgiven and quoted all the great scriptures, you still question or wonder if you really are. You're holding two opposing beliefs. That is because what you believe in your mind, logical belief, is not always the same thing that your heart believes because of what you have experienced. Is this too deep for you this morning? Is it okay? Now, a good counselor can deal with what you logically believe. I have a degree in counseling. I don't like to counsel people because they don't want to be set free, because they just want to keep hold of that thing because they enjoy the pain of that thing. No, a good counselor can deal with what you logically believe and work through your issues on a head level, but the Holy Spirit will work with you on a heart level. And that makes a world of difference. I'm not saying our counselors are ineffective and worthless, but there are many times they only scratch the surface and bring limited healing. Now, see, my sister who has passed away, you know, she went to a psychiatrist for 15 years. And finally, one day when she went, the counselor told her, the psychiatrist told her, don't come back. You know, I really love the money you're paying me, but don't come back because you really don't want to be set free. We've been working with this issue for 15 years. And you're still holding on to it. So don't come back. I went there to marry somebody there in Florida. I ministered her one night, and that she was totally set free through the Holy Spirit. See, that psychiatrist was only scratching the surface. But when I ministered with her and sat down, you know, and just let the Holy Spirit work on her, she was set free, and she was loving everybody. And I mean, she was receiving her family. It was wonderful. Then her husband shot her. But, you know, she had a month of freedom anyhow. But 15 years of bondage because the psychiatrist could not do anything but scratch the surface. Amen. God wants to bring deep level healing and complete restoration in that person's heart that you're working with. True and genuine healing at the heart level brings lasting freedom and effortless victory for that individual. All right, now. The role of our emotions. And I know Sister Teresa has been teaching about emotions. I don't know what she's been teaching, but this is what I'm going to tell you, all right? Many times we are told to deny our emotions, that our emotions can lie, and that they can, because I said many times, I didn't say all the time, or that we just can't go by our feelings. And I disagree on that. Our emotions tell us what our heart really believes to be true. If our heart believes we are not good enough to be loved by God, that's exactly how we will feel, even if we know better in our mind. I was told all my life by my stepmother, you're ugly, nobody can ever love you. And I believe that. In my heart, I believe that. Amen. And then other people come along. My first husband said, nobody could ever love you. And then he just scratched that wound open again, and I kept believing that in my heart. It wasn't in my mind. And finally, God set me free of that, but I was quite old before I was freed of that. All my life I went through thinking nobody could ever love me. You understand this? Now, when a child is taught that it's unacceptable to cry or show or even feel emotion, they are being taught to bury their pain. And that is very dangerous emotionally. How many times have you heard big macho fathers say, big boys don't cry? Well, that's macho father. That's why you're messed up, because somebody told you the same thing. I tell kids, you cry. God wants you to cry, you know. We all need to be real about how we feel. We should never use our emotions to manipulate others or go around wearing our feelings on our sleeves, thus making others feel like they are walking on eggshells. And we all know people in the body of Christ who we have to be very careful. We say, I don't care. You need to get your eggs broke, you know. Come on. You know, because it's time that we shouldn't walk around like people like we're walking on eggshells, because we can't minister to other people if we're worried about working on, you know, hurting your feelings. Some of you think I'm hard. I'm really not. You need to grow up. My Lord. I'm so glad my earthly father taught me to grow up when I was younger. Amen. With a strap, but he taught me well. That's why I don't mind God's chastening rod. Been chased enough as a child. How about you? Some of you weren't, probably. Now I lost my place. I said we should never use our emotions to manipulate others or go around wearing our feelings on our sleeves, thus making others feel like they are walking on eggshells. None of that is healthy, but it is very important that we be real with ourselves about how we feel. I had to come to grips with something about 3 months ago. I'm angry about this. And boy, I just blew up, you know, with myself. I can't believe you allowed these people to do this to you. And I had to admit to myself, I was suppressing that anger and trying to be loving and kind and you know, saying it's okay. It wasn't okay what was being done to me. It was not. And finally it exploded, not in front of people, but by myself. And I cried out to God, I said, how can I be so dumb to think all that was okay when it wasn't. When people are constantly abusing you, that is not okay. You know, you can be abused in many ways. And, you know, mental abuse is one of the worst. And it's not okay to sit around and say, oh, well, you know, they're bound up. Well, you know, get unbound. And I was thinking the other day, you know, we say, well, now, you know, you can't hurt their feelings. After all, they're messed up. But they don't care how many feelings they're hurting, you know, other people. Don't say that to me. You'll make me backslide. Get out of here. You're already backslidden. Come on. We do that. We sit around. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to make somebody backslide now. We can't tell them the truth, even though they're killing you, right? It's time we get off of that kick, too. God doesn't mind telling us where we're at, does he? Look, read the word. I'll kill you, right? Come on. All right, none of that is healthy, but it's very important that we be real with ourselves about how we feel. Denying our feelings only suppresses our problems, and that's what I was doing, and serves as a hindrance for us getting healed. See, as I'm teaching you, I'm thinking about all the stuff I've been doing all my life, and so I'm being healed too. I'm thinking, you're so great, Barbara. You know, your people don't bother you what they do, and all of a sudden God said, yes, it does. You have a mountain down in there you have to remove, a pain and hurt that you allowed people. One day God said, I never called you to be a doormat. And then it made me start thinking, oh, have I been a doormat? You know, then I started thinking of all the things. Yeah, I have been a doormat. So you got to stop. Have you been a doormat? Because you, after all, you're a godly person. Now, you can't get upset about that. Jesus got angry. God gets very angry, right? Come on. Let's get real here this morning. A husband bops you around, and I can't deal with that either. A husband bops you around and thinks you should enjoy that. Enjoy what? And then take it all the time? And then the men come in the house of God, sitting there smiling and acting so big, and they've just done beat up their wife. But don't tell them anything about it. After all, we don't want them to backslide. They're already backslidden because you're not supposed to do that to your wife. You're not supposed to abuse your children either, right? Now, our emotions are the bridge to the beliefs that we hold, which keeps us in pain. Our emotions are the bridge to the beliefs that we hold, which keeps us in pain. They tell us accurately what it is our heart really believes. Our pain is rarely rooted in the present. When somebody triggers us, it is rarely them who is causing the pain we are experiencing. They are rubbing against a painful wound in our past. If a boss tells you that your work just isn't good enough, it would have very little effect if you didn't already believe that you weren't good enough. If your parents made you feel ashamed of a B report card as a kid, you may go through life believing that you aren't good enough. And when somebody comes along and rubs that wound, it will be 10 times more painful than if you didn't have that pre-existing belief about yourself. I've seen people do that. Parents do that. If you aren't a straight-A student, you aren't worth nothing. You're dumb and ignorant. And the poor kids, you know, they're trying their hardest to please these grown-ups that need to be brought down a peg or two. And it just about destroys them trying to please, right? You who are teachers in here, you know how that goes. If somebody tells us we're stupid and we know in our heart that we are not, their words will have little meaning to us. If we already believe that we are stupid in our heart, even though we know in our head that we are not, then somebody comes along and speaks a lie that we already believe in our heart, that will trigger us. Let me say that again. If we already believe that we are stupid in our heart, even though we know in our head that we are not, then somebody comes along and speaks the lie that we already believe in our heart, and that will trigger us. We are trying to deny that awful perceived fact, and how dare somebody come up to us and tell us something that we're already struggling with. It is very rare that our present pain is caused by the present condition. It's something that's happened to you, that somebody else has caused you, and you just carry it with you all your life. The present condition is almost always triggering something we already believe about ourselves or about God because of past experiences. See, when my stepmother always told me I was ugly and unlovable, then my first husband told me one day nobody could ever love you. That's what I believed in my heart, so that triggered it. Okay, nobody can ever love me. You see this? What does God's word tell us in John 16:13? However, when the Spirit of Truth, we've read this before, but I want you to get this in your spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit, and how can we be filled with the Spirit? I think being filled with the Spirit means basically having great joy in God. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have joy. How many of you know before you was born again and got filled with the Spirit, you just existed? But after you're born again and you got the joy of the Lord, then you were living, right? The Bible teaches that the joy of the Lord is our strength in Nehemiah 18. It also means there will be power in this joy for overcoming deep wounds or wounds of any kind, overcoming besetting sins, and for boldness in witness. The Bible teaches that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Remember, God keeps saying you need the joy of the Lord. It also means there will be power in this joy for overcoming deep wounds or wounds of any kind, overcoming besetting sins, and for boldness in witness. Basically, it means radiant joy, because the Spirit who fills us is a spirit of joy that flows between God the Father and God the Son because of the delight they have in each other. Aren't you married people that are really in love? I don't know if we have any in here. You're married people that are really in love. There's great joy that flows between you, doesn't it? Because, you know, you're of like mind, and you just have joy in each other. And because you have joy in each other, then you project joy to your children and to those around about you. I don't see very many joyful marriages in the body of Christ anymore. And God is trying to get that to occur. Basically, it means radiant joy because the Spirit who fills us is a spirit of joy. I already read that. Therefore, to be filled with the Spirit means to be caught into the joy that flows among the Holy Trinity and to love God the Father and God the Son with the very love with which they love each other. The way to be filled with the Spirit is by trusting that the God of hope really reigns, that not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from his will, and that's in Matthew 10:29, and that he runs the world for you and for all who trust his word. If you, in believing that, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy, and this Holy Spirit will help you see where the wounds generated from and help free you from the pain. See, this is what the Holy Spirit did to me. Let me see where all this stuff was coming from. Acts 2:46-47. They worshiped together regularly at the temple each day. This was the people that were in the upper room, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were, if you read that, is they were really joyful. They worshiped together regularly at the temple each day, met in small groups and homes for communion, and shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Praising God, the whole city was favorable to them, and each day God added to them all who were being saved. This was talking about the disciples. In Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. All right, let's go back to 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit, out of his Spirit, On all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So where does prophecy come from? Out of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit prophesies through us. Verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you need the Holy Spirit in your life if you're going to walk in the fullness of the Father. And if you find yourself that you have a sin nature that you can't get rid of, it's because you don't truly walk in the Spirit. You know, I have somebody in my life who always tells me they love me, but I noticed if I say something to them, you know, they've done something for me. If I say something to them, they don't even realize they're doing it, but they get huffy. What? How dare you say I'm not doing it right? That attitude pops right up there. They have to be in control. And because I've said, well, you're not really doing it the way I wanted it, then they run away. How dare you question what I've just done? And they don't, I'm going to talk to them about it because they've done it again today. But you know, it's because you're not really walking in the Spirit the way you ought, or you wouldn't get offended like that. And there's something in that person that has to be rooted out before that. They won't keep being triggered by other people. And what God wants to do with you guys today is he wants to truly fill you with his Spirit, truly fill you with the Holy Spirit and all of its power and all of its might. So what's ever inside of you, the Holy Spirit's going to rout that thing out, bring it up into the open. It's up to you whether or not you get rid of it. Because if he does to you what he did to me, he brought all this stuff to my remembrance of what was going on in my life. And then I had to say, God, I don't want this. This is yours. And I'm not going to allow people to walk on me ever again like that. And you see, you have to determine that too. Once God shows you what you had in there and how it got there, then you have to get rid of it. But then don't let people do that to you again. And you don't be ignorant about it. Just keep walking in the Spirit and just don't let it happen. Just say, I'm not going there. You're not doing this to me no more. You know, I've brought people into my home. They've taken over my home, and I'm taking my home back. They don't like it, but that's too bad. You know, I was nice and generous to you. I gave you a place to live. You have all the comforts of everything you want. You don't pay for it, and you're not abiding by my rules. So I'm taking my house back. You can still live here, but it'll be under my rules. You understand what I'm saying? Because see, this was eating at me. It was eating at me, and I didn't realize it. And, you know, it was it was like a cancer. And then finally, when God showed me what was going on, oh, how many of you done that? Oh, now I've got to do something about this. But do it under the unction of the Holy Spirit. All right, the altar's open this morning, that God really and truly wants to fill you with his Spirit, the way you ought to be filled with his Spirit, not the way you think that you are. Some of you aren't really filled with the Spirit like you think you are. You don't walk in the Spirit, and that's why offenses come all the time. And there's things in you that God has to take out, and he wants to do that this morning. He wants to free you up so you can be the vessel of honor that he can use. Amen. Come on, remember what the word said. Call the Holy Spirit he. So he's not a figment of your imagination. He's real. Just the same way Jesus is and God is. He's a third part of the Godhead.